The light of the second candle of the Advent wreath represents peace. As believers in persons and work of the Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ. This morning we're going to meditate on the words of the chorus of the angelic choir saying to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
Just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever received a Christmas card that on the front said, "Peace on Earth"? Anybody ever receive a Christmas card like that? Yeah. It's interesting to listen to the world use this chorus. It's also interesting to listen to the church refer to this. And what I hope to do today is to put a little depth to this chorus for you and to help you understand that the focus of this chorus, peace on earth, is something that we all would like to have. As a matter of fact, those of you who are aware of history may remember that World War I was fought, and it was to be the war that ended all wars. And 20 years later, we now had World War II. And since World War II, the United States has been involved in various conflicts around the world almost constantly. So we need to consider what is being said here. And we need to consider the nature of peace and how you and I are to demonstrate and manifest peace. Because this message of peace is something that the church should be communicating. But before we can begin to meditate on that in particular, we need to understand glory to God in the highest, and it's even more important to understand the audience. The audience for this angelic course was shepherds out in the field. There, in terms of society, they were the low life. Okay? So here is this wonderful angelic chorus singing to lowlife. The message of the gospel of the birth of Christ was first given to shepherds. And it was given by one angel. "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." But as soon as the message was given, this chorus fills the sky. I don't know whether you've ever sat on a hill in the dark, but if you ever have you ever wondered what it would look like if the sky suddenly filled with a chorus of angels singing to you? It would certainly be startling. But the message here is, first of all, glory to God in the highest. We are reminded, or we ought to be reminded, that praise should be the first thing on our lips. The angels, who are always in the presence of God, always acknowledge and sing his praises. We are to give glory to God. But in this instance, the glory that they're singing about has something to do with the babe in the manger. They're singing to the shepherds because this babe in the manger has been born. So we need to understand something about the nature of the birth of this one, Jesus, and the glory of God. We get a sense of this in John chapter 17 in the high priestly prayer, when Jesus says that he is going to manifest the glory of God. How's he going to do that? At the cross. God's glory is going to be displayed at the cross. So the subject of God's glory has something to do with the rest of the message. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But what about this highest? Glory to God in the highest. Well, there's four possible understandings, as I think, here. One is the manner of praise. There is no greater effort needed than to praise God. If you put effort into anything, you need to put the effort into praising God. Give it your highest energy. Give it all of your effort. Praise God. The second possible is that look who is praising God, the angels. They are higher than we at present. According to the created order, we are greater than the angels. And if the angels glorify him, we ought to glorify him. For we, by the created order, are greater than angels. You get a sense of this in 1 Corinthians 6 when Paul says that in heaven, you and I are going to rule the angels. What that means, I have no idea, but that's what we're told. We're going to rule the angels. So we are higher than the angels by the created order. Thirdly, the highest heaven. There is no place higher than where God is glorified. There's no higher thing to do by any of the creatures. And Jesus, you may recall, when he was riding his donkey into Jerusalem and they were praising him, he was told to rebuke them. And he said, if I rebuke them, even the stones will praise me. So the inanimate creation is capable of praising God. And God himself is the highest. There is no greater person to praise. We are good at praising children, praising people who do things. We're good at praising people that we admire. But there's no greater praise than to give to the one who is the highest to praise. God is the highest. And he is to be praised by all. He is the creator. He is the redeemer. And he is the one who sent his son into that manger. Men and angels are to universally praise God. But what about this on-earth peace? Well, according to Micah 5, the one who is born in that manger is peace. That's who he is. Listen to Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from of everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord of his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great, to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. He in his own person is peace. And he in his own person, lying in that manger, is on earth. The one who is peace is now in body, prepared to mature and make peace. Paul tells us in Ephesians that Jesus is our peace, and that he is the one who has made peace for us between us and God. God has reconciled us as men to himself through the atonement of Christ. We are told that while we were enemies, Christ died for us. So when the angels are talking about on earth peace, they're talking about something that has been a problem since the fall. Men have been at war against God. And God had created a law. And that law was to reveal to us our great need. Paul tells us in Galatians that the law is a schoolmaster that is to lead us to Christ. The law is not to make us perfect and righteous. As a matter of fact, the law cannot do that. But God has sent the one who is peace to make peace between God and man. And as a result of the peace that we have with God and man, then we should be at peace with all men. That would be a consequence of being at peace with God. Paul writes in another place that we are to live at peace with all men insofar as it's possible for me. Now, if all of us did that, the church would make a huge impact in the world. Huge. But insofar as possible, I am responsible to live at peace with all men. And the consequences of that are interesting. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are to, rather than go to court against one another, we're to be rather defrauded. The writer of the Hebrews says that when somebody comes and takes all my possessions, I am to acknowledge that, give thanks, and acknowledge that I have a greater inheritance in heaven. Because when you're at peace with God, this world means nothing. This world is not important. Because you're a pilgrim and you're a sojourner and you're passing through. You don't belong here. Your home is in God's presence in heaven. That's where your home is. Therefore, I should be reconciled and able to live at peace with all men. And then I should be a peacemaker. Remember? Matthew 5. Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers. This is our role in the world. We're to be peacemakers. And we're to be peacemakers, enabling and teaching other men how to love one another. Well, the ultimate love is that I would be willing to lay down my life for you. The greatest love is that I would be willing to give my life for my friend. This is only possible if I have peace with God, and peace with God is only possible because that child in the manger grew in favor with God and man and learned obedience unto death, the death of the cross. So when the angels sing, glory to God in highest, on earth peace, they have the focus on this one in the manger. For he is peace, and he brings peace to men through his cross, death and resurrection, and therefore I am empowered and you are empowered to bring peace to other men. Now, I don't know what the shepherds went through when they heard that, but I know the consequence of what they did and they heard. They went in haste to worship God. They went in haste to worship the one in the manger. Are we so enthusiastic that that's what we do? Not only did they go in haste to see this one, but they went with a very, very interesting exhortation. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, can you imagine going into Bellingham, looking for a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes? Wouldn't you want an address? 511 Ellis Street? That would be very helpful, wouldn't it? But no, they were given this address of go find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, which meant what? They had to go to Bethlehem and ask. They had to ask people, have you seen this one? Have you heard of this one? So in the process of looking for the child, they had to give the information that they were given. That's called witnessing. And then having found the child, what did they do? They left praising God and telling everybody they saw what they had seen. Now, who are these people? They're the dregs of society. They're the shepherds. As a matter of fact, if you've ever been around sheep, you know that they probably smelled. And yet, they didn't let that stop them. They didn't take a shower before they went to Bethlehem. They didn't gussy up and look good. They left their field because they had a message. And they were enthusiastic about the message. And the message had something to do with peace. The rest of what the chorus says, goodwill to all men. The goodwill is not the will of man. It's the goodwill of God. God is the one who has the goodwill toward men. Salvation begins with God. Salvation is because God himself wills to transform men. Paul tells us in Romans that God is the just God and he's the justifier of men. The just God has a law. And the law must be fulfilled. The justifier of men has to only accept men who have been just. How are we just? Because the Lamb of God bore the sin of me and you, and he fulfilled the law in all its parts. I did some strange things as a father, and this was another one of them. But one day I was trying to teach my son about the gospel, and my son had done something wrong. And he knew that what he'd done wrong deserved a paddle. And he went and got the paddle and brought it to me and handed it to me. And I said to him, Nathaniel, now you take the paddle and you spank Dad. He looked at me kind of funny. And I said, you need to understand that the law demands a spanking. But the law does not say who gets the spanking. The law says that this deed is done and that there needs to be a spanking. And then I went on to tell him that this is what God does. God made a law. And he demands that his law be kept perfectly. And God then satisfies the law by sending his son to bear the penalty of that law so that I, who deserve the penalty, can be reckoned to be righteous. I don't know that my 2-3-year-old son got it, but I hope you get it, what God has done. I hope you understand what God has accomplished in Christ. And this peace that we have because God's will is that we are transformed to be his children. So when the angel comes and says to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I tell you good tidings of great joy. What greater joy can there be than that we are at peace with God? And we're at peace with God because he is satisfied that we are righteous in Christ. There's no greater foundation or reason for joy. And the shepherds heard this great message. Unto you is born a Savior. who is the anointed one, the one promised in the Old Testament. And he is God. That's what Christ the Lord means. The anointed one who is God. And the shepherds got it. And they were enthused by this chorus breaking out in the heavens saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Is this the message you take to your friends and relatives? I hope so. I don't know about you, but every Christmas time I think of those shepherds and I wonder, who watched the sheep when they left to worship God? And I wonder, how long were they gone? And how many times did they have to listen to somebody in Bethlehem tell them that they smelled? How many times did they have to tell the message in Bethlehem until they found the one they were looking for? How long did it take? It's irrelevant, obviously, because God doesn't tell us. But what about us? Are we as enthusiastic about this message? That's what it is. It's a message. The one born in Bethlehem is the Savior. He is, in his own person, peace. He is the one who, because he fulfilled the law and took the penalty of the law, enables us to be at peace with God. And we have something wonderful to look forward to, an eternity of praising God in a city that has no gates, no pain, no sorrow, no grief. Why? Because the one who is peace came, born of a manger, born under the law, born of a woman, that we might have eternal life. I hope that at this time of year in particular, that you declare that message. That is the message that you take. Because it is the only message that provides peace among men. Without the gospel and without Christ, there cannot be and there will not be peace among men. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do praise you and thank you for that which you have done through Jesus Christ. We thank you that all men are to hear this message. We thank you that in your wisdom you announced the birth of our Lord to shepherds. You didn't announce it to kings or merchants, but you announced it to what was considered to be the lowlife. Knowing then that they are included, Lord, we know that all men are included. And we praise you and thank you that we have been privileged to hear the gospel. And we ask that we would be enthusiastic about the gospel and that we would be those who would be quick to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that eternal life is at stake. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all.